the base contribution. Awesome. Cool. So awesome. Welcome everybody to the 15th of the basic contribution calls. Quick housekeeping. This meeting is being recorded. Please mute unless speaking. Antitrust notice, you can find it here. And if you have any question, please raise your hand and you get to speak. So like I started, so general announcements. I don't know if this was updated by Grace, but about the incentive program update. Anybody has any update on that?
Okay. I don't have any insight, but the last that was spoken, it was going to legal review with Hyperledger, Consensus, and EF, which is a big black box that we'll hear nothing about unless it's successful.
Oh, okay. Got you. Thanks for the update. So I see here from Grace, what is an option two for how to resolve or remain in a maintainers initiative program. That's what you mentioned, Anno. Thanks. I guess we can directly speak on the release updates. On the 21st, that's done. I don't know, anyone want to say something about it?
I did that. Go ahead. Or was I hearing my own echo?
Oh.
I did the 21.1 release, 22.1.1 release. I did a bit of a different approach on that one. Instead of doing it on the mainline, I did it on a side bit. So I picked a particular commit, and so that didn't wind up shutting down the mainnet. We were able to do the release on the side. And then I merged it back in, not with a squash merge, but with a normal merge, so we could track, you know, and get it in the same chain. So when you download the main chain, the main, speaking of like a chain, but the main branch for GitHub in the history, you'll have the release history when you get the main because it's all dependent on it. That seemed to go fairly boringly. Because it was on a side chain, I could wait, you know, half a day to get feedback from other people and approvals on some of these things. So that was one advantage, is it was very asynchronously releasable, and you can pick any point in the history to do your release from.
Sounds good. Any comment on that, or see Gary shutting out?
Yeah, I'll say that's a great strategy, just because there's a lot less coordination and a lot less time pressure. I'll also go on to say that, you know, we were planning to do an off-cycle release of 21.1.2 to release for Kiln support. And we didn't end up doing that off cycle because we still had some outstanding PRs for that. So we were going to stick to the original Friday the 18th schedule for 21.1.2. And I think, Dano, you had mentioned that there's some need for us to take up about a week's worth of slack in our release schedule. So we'll have to probably do that with a different release.
I think we're there, because if we stick with the release this week, we can use the contributor call meetings to give an up-down on what needs to go into the release and for people to say, hey, I need to get this kiln update. I need to get this EVM update, if we do it in the contributor meeting. So I actually like where it's at right now. So we could do like a Wednesday, Thursday release. You know, as if we were doing a release last week, we'd still need to get another, you know, a few days. And it looks like we got there with some of the delays trying to get kiln done properly. But my philosophy on off-cycle releases is if there's an external event, like, you know, a classic fork or a fork for mainnet, those I'm totally on board with.
Great. Yeah, we didn't end up using it this time, but it's good to know for the future that that's an escape hatch for the cycle if we need to.
Sounds good. So you guys are all set for the volunteering on the release rotation names?
Yeah, can you click on the here too? I think that's got the names. That's got the current schedule.
There you are. Nice.
So I think Frank is set up for the next one. And then we got Stefan, Lucas, and Justin. And as we get closer to April 13th, if no one volunteers, I can fill in on that one. The RCs do tend to be a bit more Git intensive than your typical merges and your typical releases, but that's not too bad.
Sounds good. Cool. I like this rotation. Cool. Team is working towards release process improvements. So I guess you mentioned that, Dan, right? Cool. So should we run some works update on the Trace API?
Actually, APIs? Real quick on the release process improvements.
Sure.
Dana, would you mind adding just a brief paragraph to that page that we're including all the release process improvements, just describing the commit-based approach? I think that would be helpful to capture that there, because that does sound like a good improvement.
That sounds good. And the best way to ensure that happens is to put my name next to a check mark on that page somewhere.
Awesome. Okay.
Nice. Cool. So on Workspace, so Trace API, that's ongoing. I don't know who should put that.
I think that's the Australia teams. I saw Sally do some commits for that.
Okay, gotcha. So I guess we'll be...
The chat is disabled, but I was going to drop a comment on this. It's actually done.
Nice. Yes. Okay, that's done. Merge update?
Yeah, so the big news is the Kiln network is launched, and I think it should have merged within the last couple of minutes or so, maybe half hour. The basic version that's been advertised that supports Kiln is 21.1.2 snapshot. And then once we, there's a lot of sync work that's in progress for backward sync and for snap sync support. And once we get all of that sorted out and release 21.1.2, that will be our official Kiln release. But for now, we're communicating that 21.1.2 snapshot is our Kiln support. And that is Kiln network is the execution spec is version 2, Kiln spec version 2.1, which is about as close to final. Can't say it's final, but it's very close to the final merge spec.
Nice.
How close are we to getting those in for 22.1.2? Do we need to hold up 22.1.2, or do we need to look into putting in a 22.1.3?
Well, we haven't had our stand up yet to discuss that yet, but I think Kareem and or Yuri could probably give an update on not competing, but the two sync strategies that are in the process of merging currently.
Yeah, I'm doing the backward sync, and right now I'm capable of syncing properly, it seems like, but I'm doing still some testing. So I think there is a chance I will manage until Friday to get it in. There are still some tests missing, so I don't have full test coverage. So I'm gonna need to work on that, and there need to be some code cleanup as well, I think.
I can give some update regarding the SnapSync. It's not really important for the merge, but I'm still working on the SnapSync. I'm close to have something working, so something is working on Girly, so I need to do some modification for the mainnet. But I started this week to split my big PR into small PR, and I will start to merge every time small part of the code to facilitate the review. And yes, I'm trying to move forward on that. So feel free to review. I started to push some small PR, one PR this week, and I will continue like that during the next week.
Are either of these critical for Kiln?
Only the backward sync is critical for Kiln. Yeah. But there's a little bit of potential merge conflict. So I think that we need to be communicating as we merge.
Okay. I don't want to push these releases out too long because we have 2 week releases. You know, it's not too much of a release if we need to slip it. So, but I don't want to be very strict on a deadline either. So,
We already had Tim put out a blog post on the EF blog about Kiln support and referenced the different merge ready clients, and the basic version that's communicated is 21.1.2 snapshot. So I don't think that we were really kind of pushing to have a release version in that communication. And I don't think that we have a huge pressing need for that to necessarily be a specific release version. Other clients are using, branches and not mainline releases for sure. So I don't think that we're too far off of the norm there for Kiln support with a snapshot release.
Cool. Then future backwards from Dano. Thanks for tagging yourself in. I think that's very useful. Then we know
who's speaking. So the first one is one that we discussed a month ago when I just want to get group commit on it so I can start putting it in the change logs to move to Java 17 and the first release after the middle of the year. So this next quarter we release, we would put a warning in there saying we're updating our base Java to 17. And then the next quarter after it, we actually do it. So I'm going to get a PR ready for that this week, unless there's an objection to that plan. The next one is I'm stacking up also changes for the next quarterly release to break things. At Hedera, in some of our performance test networks, we identified that the gas object that we're using to track gas has, there's a lot of short-lived objects that are created by that math because it's an immutable object. And with all the fun things with Java currently, where those objects have identity and other interesting things, it causes a lot of garbage collection pressure at high volume. So I wrote up a branch where we replace it with a primitive. And that had impacts on some of the APIs, so it can't just go in this release. We're going to have to wait for quarterly release. So I linked the PR that goes to it. A couple of interesting things I ran into. The gas object was hiding some value clamping, where if a gas value gets too high, it'll just return long max value when you get the long value for the gas. So it was doing some hiding of the values in there. And that is clamping it to max long max value is actually consistent with a new EIP that was discussed in the last Alcor devs or so. I think it was two ago, actually, where gas was being limited to 2 to the 63 minus 1. Whether it's a transaction limit or an internal limit. And a lot of the discussion that went on revealed that a lot of the clients had this limit internally anyway. So going to a long isn't going to cause compatibility problems because all the clients will break in the same way in the event we go to, I think it's quintillion gas, some 16 quintillion gas, which is an absurdly large number that I don't think you could compute reasonably without chewing up a lot of memory. And those are the tests where I ran into it for the most part, is where they were allocating ridiculous amounts of memory, like, you know, terabytes of memory, gigabytes to terabytes of memory, and that was breaking the gas calculation. So that's where I put the clamping in. So that test, it passes all unit tests and all reference tests for a reference. So that's one I'm planning on putting in. I think there's another one I probably should have pulled in. This is for Diego. I'm deprecating log4j2, but we'd rather do that in the open forum. That's up to Diego.
Okay, so you'll follow up in the chat on that.
Yeah, yes. I'll post it in the chat, but it's not going to come until the April release. So you have to maintain that branch separately with merges.
Yeah, no worries.
Cool. Awesome. So we did this. So in terms of other updates, and thanks so much for commenting. I think on the request, Nicola, it's actually that's very useful. So on other businesses, automated security bot requests. That's still you, Dana, or?
Yeah, that's still me. So this is something I put in. There is a security breakout group from the TSC. We're talking about security issues relating to Hyperledger, blockchains in general, and to the projects in particular. There's about three different threads because security is a very, very deep source of things to pull from. One of the issues that came up was that the Linux Foundation is putting together a security scanner for all Linux Foundation projects and hence Hyperledger projects. So if we have anything that we want them to scan, now would be a prime time for us to come up with suggestions. And I think one of those might be to look into the actual shipped jars and compare those against CVEs and have that as one of the heads up. I think Dependabot and a number of other tools already do this. If they aggregate that information, that's fine. If they do it themselves, that's fine. But that's one thing I think we should consider asking them for. But if there's other requests that any of the other engineers who are involved in the security process might have, this is an excellent time to add them. as requests. Anyone?
The only other one that I can think of, it's basically the same thing as Dependabot, is the X-ray stuff through JFrog. I've seen good results with that in the past, but the past is now a year and a half ago. So that would be another one that I would throw out there, but I'm not super committed to it. That's Artifactory specific though, right? Is anybody else familiar with X-ray?
Yeah, I think it is Artifactory specific.
Okay.
The Linux Foundation does pay for Artifactory for Hyperledger. So if it is, it should be available.
Okay. I think it should be on. So basically, Daniel, I think you're asking like, what should we have on the list of things for them to evaluate for consideration for static security analysis?
Yes. Before they commit to features, do we have any asks that we should look at?
I would look at X-ray. Yeah. I'm also a big fan of Dependabot, but that's already on the list.
Is there a Docker version of X-ray or Dependabot we might want to ask them for as well?
Not that I know of, but again, editing.
Okay. If you think of any, just post them in the Basic Contributors Discord chat.
Okay.
Cool. Good points. So there you are, Nicolas, the one on documentation that you mentioned.
Yeah, sorry, I got disconnected. I'm just back. We have this, it's not a big issue, but we are just a small team for documenting Bezu on the consensus side, and we document many things, and we are just the four of us. And I would love to have more contributors on the doc. And one way to improve that, in my opinion, is to have something clear about the guidelines and everything. And one way to have better guidelines is to have them updated. And because our team is a bit small, we would like to see with the community if it would be a big deal if at least the guidelines were centralized. I know it's not the right word, but centralized into one place where like Google writing guidelines or Microsoft writing guidelines that we already use, we could have a consensus guideline that could apply to Bezu doc. It will not change the contributing process, including DCO and everything, but it's just about the writing guidelines. So if you just click on the top left on the documentation on the same site here, so on the top left menu, you have documentation on the gray left part in the table of content.
Oh, here, yeah.
Yeah, on the top, you have documentation.
Yeah.
Can you click on this? And so we have contributing to the documentation and contribution workflow that will stay in the wiki here. But for instance, the MKDocs and Markdown guides, and Bezu documentation style, which are ways to write the Markdown for the doc, is something that we would really benefit in having it into one place. And that was my question. Is it acceptable from the Hyperledger point of view to have this pointing to a consensus guideline? Because currently, honestly, we just copy and paste. It's really mostly the same. And so we would have only one place to update. But because it involves pointing to consensus, I want to make sure that's fine.
Please don't do that.
I don't know. I don't know. That's why I ask.
Yeah,
it would ease our everyday work for on the consensus doc team perspective, but that's why I ask. I want to make sure that yeah, if we do that, it's not a surprise for anyone, and it's fine.
Yeah. So we're still, we Hyperledger, I'm speaking, you know, as a Hyperledger employee, we are still battling the idea in the market that we are IBM employees, and anything that would happen like this, where official docs were hosted on consensus.
No, the doc would not be official. The doc would not, the
guidelines
would not change.
Yeah,
just the guideline. But the same way we point to Google and Microsoft guidelines, in fact.
Okay, keep it as it is for now, and I will ask internally to see, since you are pointing to other guidelines.
If you look at the link in the doc on the left, Bezu documentation style guide, the fourth one, then we already have some links to, if you scroll down, we have some links already to the writing style, Microsoft style guide, and the Google inclusive doc writing guides, things like that.
Okay, I understand now.
So yeah, it would be the exact same thing.
Yeah, don't worry about what I said previously then.
So one question I have, maybe Ryan might help with this, are there general writing guidelines that other projects have, or is this something Learning Materials Working Group might want to address? Do we want a standard Hyperledger standard, or do we want to let each project do its own collection of standards?
Good question.
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for it. I think that's actually probably a reasonable question for the TSC.
Okay. Hey, yeah, something to talk about this Thursday. That'll be good.
Indeed.
All right. Ooh, I'll bring it up in TSC.
So I take that as, for the moment, we don't change anything. And let's have this discussion with a more global Hyperledger instance, and I will see what happens next.
Yeah, because I'm sure all the other companies that come in, they use their company style for sure. Because I'm sure IBM does, I'm sure Suramitsu does, whoever it is that does Sawtooth. So this is worth discussion, even if nothing comes from it at the TSC. I agree with Ryan.
Okay, great. That answers my question.
Cool. So Daniel, we speak on the TSC on that. Should we check the matrix and the roadmap? So we added the presentation, I think it's from the past contribution calls. Or anybody has anything to say on that?
Only that I've noticed, you know, more new faces in PRs, so that's fun.
Oh yeah. Active contribution too, yeah. What was this peak, by the way? September 21.
That might have been the hackathon, the Grace Hopper hackathon.
Oh yeah,
open source day rather. It wasn't really a hackathon, but that was the entire point, was to get new people introduced to open source and get their first PR submitted.
Nice, yeah. And I guess also the Hyperledger Global Forum, no, is normally like in, when is that? I think this year is still happening, right? This might be cool. Okay, so I can move to the roadmap if anyone doesn't have anything to say on that. So you guys modify the roadmap somehow, or to 22? I think we spoke around already on the merge.
Could say something about Banzai removing the experimental flag. I think that's in the works currently.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's this is the one, right? Approved.
Sorry.
I was just saying that the PR that Gary is referring to is approved.
Okay. Cool. Awesome, awesome.
So wait, there's also, Dano, you wrote a good document sort of at the beginning of the year that had sort of it was more of a vision statement. It was a little bit broader than a specific roadmap. Do we want to kind of just review that and square it with the upcoming roadmap? Because I was reading that document. It was very interesting. And I kind of stumbled across the architecture diagram that we currently have posted on Read the Docs. And I was like, I'm personally very interested in modularization, and I see a bunch of synergy between all of these things. I wonder if there's an opportunity here for us to take like the roadmap, the vision, and the architecture diagram, kind of update them all and get them lined up with an eye towards modularization. What do people think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let me get the doc in there and so we can talk about it. And I'll let other people speak as well.
I did a bit of a proof of concept with Dagger. I ended up walking it back in, when did I do that? Maybe February, January, I'm not sure. But everything that I learned about it, I was pretty happy with and pretty committed to. And I would love to treat that as one of the mechanisms that we use to do that modularization.
We use Dagger in Hedera and it's awesome.
Yeah, so. And I noticed that we're using it in EVM tool as well.
Mm-hmm. I didn't bring it into Hedera. Another engineer brought it into Hedera, and they did a really good job. So I think it's got great potential done right.
Okay. So basically what I'm saying is all these three things, I think there is a through line of modularization that kind of runs through them. I'd like to find a way to visualize that through line and illustrate it. So it tells a bit of a story for things that we want to do this year.
Okay. I pasted the doc in chat if people want to look at it. Should I move that into the Besu space since it's now less than speculative?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't see you down for doing that. Okay, so then I'm going to give myself an action item to kind of review those three things. And who wants to be involved in that? Dano, I assume you want to be involved in that because you kind of wrote that vision document.
Yeah.
Anyone else? I'll make sure that I kind of set up a session for us to kind of just noodle some ideas and tighten things up a little bit. I'm not imagining anything drastic or dramatic. It really is just getting those three assets aligned towards. There's probably going to be more daggers showing up in the code, and there should be things like vertical spikes to demonstrate how to go back and retrofit existing code to use it.
Yeah, sign me up for that as well.
Cool.
Yes, also.
Akram, all right.
Yes.
And me, please, as well.
Yuri?
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, y'all.
Awesome. Cool. So I think that's already there, but official on Discord. I think you guys have any comments on which channel should we add on the base, or that's enough, or should we like close some channels, or how is going with Discord? Is there anything that we should do?
I think the channels have been working pretty well. They seem to be pretty well segmented. I'm not sure I've used basic GitHub yet, but the other ones have been very useful.
I find that particular channel way too noisy.
Yeah, I tried turning some stuff off, and I got people saying, hey, I do like that thing you turned off, so I turned it back on. It is quite the fire hose, but I don't know how to reasonably segment it with the tools that we have in GitHub. Because go ahead.
I was just going to say it might be a personal thing for me, and I'm just going to keep it muted and pipe in when I need to. And it's okay to have a fire hose somewhere.
Yep, that's fine. One of the things I really like about it is when there's admin changes, like turning on branch protection and turning it off, it shows up there and force pushes. So from an admin perspective, that's the bare minimum I'd want in there. Comments are nice to look at to see what's active, but it can become too noisy. And I think we're at an inflection point. It gets much more noisy. It's going to be quite difficult to use, but we'll see how it goes there. But there's some key features in that that I want left on to make sure that there's an audit trail and a, hey, look, here, something's happening trail. I mean, you can get that from the audit logs inside GitHub itself, but having it more publicly visible increases trust, I think.
Yeah, I want to put a filter on that fire hose for those few events.
Cool. And speaking on Discord, like you mentioned the off week Discord voice chat. I think voice chat are always working well. They just need to be like scheduled. So I don't know if anybody is interested in that. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, let's do it. We just got to pick a date and time. Were we going to use this same time on the off week?
Let's do it. Let's start it. You could also just join chat and hang out. It's going to show that you're in there if you're listening. So that's always an option too.
Could start it right after the Central European summertime switchover. That way we don't have the confusion like we did today.
Smart.
Yes.
That's smart, yeah. Sounds good. So basically off time, bi-weekly. Sounds good. Cool. Do you want to speak on the deprecating log 42J, Diego? I don't know, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Yes. Well, basically, I sent a PR for changing log 4J2 for replacing it with logback. There were some comments about backward compatibility, mostly on regards of supporting the overriding of external configurations of log4j. But in the middle, I don't know, there were some concerns, maybe it makes sense to replace log4j2. So maybe that's the open discussion here, if we really want to replace log4j2 with something else. I mean, my proposal was logback because just, I don't know, it was like the natural path after migrating, after introducing SLF4J, but I don't know. So I think it's an open discussion here. For me, it's a good choice. I think it's the original team that wrote log4j1, and I think there was some political thing in the middle for them to split and start creating logback, but yeah, and I think in the PR, I can see it. There are a few things that are simpler, like for example, to detect the environment variable for overriding ANSI colors on the output. So yeah, I think it's a PR that removes more lines than those that introduce, even if I added a few tests. So yeah, for me it makes sense, but I don't know.
That's one of those ones that's kind of hard to get an answer to, because we're probably only going to hear from the people who have that requirement where they're overriding the log4j configuration after they can no longer do it. It's going to be like a reactive thing, I imagine.
I would just like to highlight that logback didn't have like a release for like a very long time already, and they still need to support Java 1.6 and older. So like until they release logback 2 or something, we are basically setting ourselves constant. And I don't mind. I'm just highlighting that.
We should look into that. That's a pretty good point, if true.
Yeah.
So the to-do on this one is basically, yeah, looking, and we'll probably like we speak on the next call. Cool. Anybody has any other topics that they want to raise?
Is anybody going to DevConnect Amsterdam?
I am.
I'm not up for international travel right now.
That makes good sense.
Not me, sorry.
Cool. Yeah, on this point, we're with JT and the team, we're organizing a side event on Bezu and the merge. It might be useful like that we connect, I think, as you, Gary and Justin, will come like some proposal this week for supporting this side event. Basically, like maybe a panel on Bezu and the merge. That might be cool if there are so many protocol people in Amsterdam this week. Cool, awesome. So I guess we can wrap up. And yeah, thank you so much, and chat you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.